We have some exciting news for our listeners. This summer, 2025, we will be releasing our book, Confronting Evil in Our Time, unpacking the Screwtape Letters podcast inspired by C.S. Lewis. We are making signed first edition copies available for you leading up to the release. To secure your first edition signed copy, go to screwtapeletterspodcast.com and fill out the form to get your book. From Galen and I, we want to thank you for your support and Jesus Christ, who makes all things possible. God bless. So welcome back to the Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time, Season 2, the biblical Easter eggs that we've found in each of the letters. Galen, this is a really interesting one because it's one of my favorite parables within the Bible, which is the prodigal son.
Well, it makes sense because you were the one that caught this one. I read right past it, didn't even catch it. And I remember you pointed it out when we went through the letters the first time. But right at the end of the chapter there makes a direct reference to remember the older brother in the enemy's in the enemy's story, or, you know,
yep, basically. In the enemy's story. Yeah.
And I didn't even connect the dots. I read right past it, didn't think about it too much. And you were the one that pointed it out. So, yeah.
Well, this is why these are really interested in here, because, you know, we've done the dissection of the letters and then we've started finding these little Easter eggs that he threw in there. C.S. Lewis is a real clever guy, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's some kind of threading in all of this that he's alluding to within these letters as well. And throwing in these little Easter eggs, and especially the way he throws this in right at the very end as well. You've had this conflict between the patient and his mother, and the demonic are trying to get, they're trying to cause strife between within the relationship.
Right.
They're trying to find things that each of them don't like about each other that could cause an annoyance, could cause separation between them. And if you remember the parable of the prodigal son, one child takes his worth of the estate and goes out and spends it on prostitutes, partying, and everything until he hits complete rock bottom, then comes home. And the other brother, who stays true to his father, works diligently, slaves himself away, has never, ever been celebrated. But yet, on the prodigal son's return, the fatted calf's killed and there's a huge party been thrown for the child who's come home.
Right. Which so, really, you know, we think about the story of the prodigal son, and everybody knows the son that was foolish and spoiled his inheritance away, you know, lived in folly. And then the son was so great, or the father was so gracious and received him. Those are the two characters that we tend to highlight and almost forget the fact that I think the main point that Jesus really had in bringing it up was that other brother. It was the response of the other brother to say, hey, I've been here all along. You never threw me a party. And Screwtape knows exactly what the point was. C.S. Lewis is pointing out the demonic know full well what Jesus's point was in scripture. And he's actually trying to sow the same seed of frustration in this woman, in the mother, that Satan has been sowing throughout people for the dawn of time, all the way back in Jesus's day, has had tried to plant those same seeds of, well, what about me? you know
I always think of the prodigal son story, Galen, and a few of the corollaries between that and the story of Cain and Abel as well.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%.
You know, you've got these battle between brothers. They're working the land for their father. And all of a sudden, you know, obviously in the story of Cain and Abel, Cain kills Abel. But then here we have a situation where the prodigal son's gone. He's living it up. And we know people in our own lives who, let's call it, they make mistakes. They go wayward. They go prodigal. All of a sudden, they're living a life that's wrong. And there's disdain shown for that world by others. And here's the question: is it rare occasions, or is it in the majority of cases that forgiveness is given and they're accepted back in?
I think it's
just anecdotally, right?
Yeah, I mean that's a great question. I mean, question to our audience, and I think the point is, kind of check your own heart and things and be able to, you know, I think celebrating forgiveness is something that you cannot do with demonic, unless you get demonic influence out of your life. Celebrating forgiveness, the demonic do not have the ability to forgive or celebrate forgiveness. You know, let me throw a quick little theological tangent out here, because the idea of forgiveness and envy really is a root thing. You know, we don't know 100% what was going on with the angelic realm prior to the creation account in Genesis, but we do know that roughly one third of the angels were cast out when Lucifer rebelled. One third of the angels went with him, and that is really what we know and believe to be the demonic world today. They had their season. They had a time of deciding whether or not they were going to rebel, and they made their choice, and now they are stuck. They are fixed in their new reality. They have their judgment. They are cast out, the verdict. They had their chance to repent, decide which way they were going to go, and Hebrews talks about humanity in the same way. You know, it's appointed for man once to die and then the judgment. This life is a beautiful opportunity to take it all in, to hear from the Lord, to sift through temptation and different ideas and decide, choose this day who you will serve, the Lord or the enemy or yourself. So we're in this season of choosing. The demonic already had their season of choosing, and they are forever unforgiven. They are in it. It went all the way to the Supreme Court. It can't be overturned. There's no higher appeal. So a demonic being is somebody who has a stamp of permanent unforgiveness and guilt on their head. And they live in the eternal anguish of being forever wrong and forever unforgiven. And that's why I believe unforgiveness, anytime you see it in the Bible, oftentimes somewhere nearby, there's a reference to something demonic going on, because they're constantly trying to cause mankind to not have a spirit of forgiveness in and of each other. And that's really what's going on in the story of the prodigal son. The younger brother, the one brother was forgiven, and the other brother was jealous. The fact that he was forgiven, it bothered him. It was literally a fruit of the enemy in the flesh rather than a fruit of the spirit.
You know, I've always found one thing really interesting about the story of the prodigal son, which is that the son who goes off, the life he leads is awful. He's sleeping around with prostitutes. He's, you know, partying all right. The time, getting drunk. He's, you know, doesn't know where he is. He's being used. He's probably being abused. Mm-hmm. And then you have this other son who stayed true and was blessed with that he wasn't tempted into this world, that world.
Right.
And it's an interesting dichotomy, because when he's jealous that his brother, who has just went through this version of hell on earth, all of a sudden is back and his father's welcomed him with open arms in the way we hope God will welcome us as sinners back with open arms, the brother who stayed out of that is jealous about it.
Right. Right.
But he should be thankful that he never went through.
He should be thankful thankful that he never had to go through that. And thankful that he was able to see his brother restored. Because, and this really, I think, is a good challenge to the church today. If we are not willing to receive with joy other people who are getting their lives together, getting their lives cleaned up and coming to Jesus, we need, that's something, I mean, it sounds crazy to say, but it is a response of, well, how could the Lord bless that person? I've been obedient on, you know, I go to the right church. I believe the right thing. How can God save that person who's whatever the thing is? Having a spirit of forgiveness with joy is something that only comes from, you know, a fruit of the spirit. And it's something that the demonic is always going to pull those strings of temptation to pull you in the other way.
You know, when I hear people up on stage giving their testimonies about the wayward life, getting out of prison, you know, being on drugs, being at their wit's end, putting a gun in their mouth, all these different things, I'm thankful that they've come through it. But there's not a part of me, like in the prodigal son story, sits there going, dang, I wish I would have been there. You know, it's I've had my own obviously sinful ways, like all of us have, but not to the degree of sleeping around with prostitutes and, you know, just absolute debauchery, which it probably was, especially when you read a lot of the Old Testament stories and the stories around that time. That's not a lifestyle that anyone would wish on their, you know, a good enemy, let alone their brother.
Right.
You know, so yeah, so that story is, so it is interesting. And for listeners, I think it's a great moment to reflect on the idea that where are you being used in your life by the demonic to find things about others in your circle who have either been saved or have been redeemed, that all of a sudden now you are sitting on that side, like the older brother, a little bit jealous of the grace that you feel has been bestowed on them, even though you've had it all along.
Right. You know, because it's interesting. I think what was the dynamic that Screwtape is even getting at? But I think it is the fact that the son has come to the Lord, has a new faith, and there's a joy in it. It's almost like when you're in a new dating relationship. You know, you and I are both married, so those days are long past for both of us. But you remember, like, when a relationship is new, it's fresh, it's exciting, you know. And then at some point, the honeymoon phase ends. And I think that's a good analogy for us as believers to because that's the illustration that he's making in the letter. Get the mom to be jealous of the excitement of the new faith that the boy has, and say, how come he's so happy? How come he's so joyous about this newfound faith? And to our audience and for us, like, maybe it's a good challenge. Like, do I have a little bitter envy of people who are finding joy in the Lord and finding victory over sin? What's going on in my life that I don't have it? And we don't have to be jealous or unforgiving of other people, but maybe say, you know, Lord, I want, restore me to my first love. You know, if you don't have joy in the Lord, get to the bottom of why that is, you know, because I think it's there to be had.
You know, I'm thinking as well, and it sort of just hit me thinking about C.S. Lewis adding this in at the end of this letter. Maybe it's not just the brother's relationship that he's paralleling with the mother and the son, but it's also the prodigal son's actually come home, as in the patient has now found faith again, right? And this is new, the patient's become a Christian,
right.
He's paralleling the fact that he's being welcomed back by the father with open arms. And that's what C.S. Lewis knows is annoyance to the demonic within this, that he's come home.
Right. And again, I think it's because the demonic will never experience that. And because they will never experience that forgiveness and reception by God, they just want to tear everyone away from ever possibly enjoying the opportunity.
That's brilliantly put. Yeah. So there you go.
How's it going?
That's a letter three. With our biblical Easter eggs that we found in there. Again, if you're seeing things that we're not seeing in there, we'd love to hear from you. So just write to us at screwtapeletterspodcast.com. And again, just keep your eye out for other things within this. It's amazing when you delve deep into a book like this and see the beauty that's within the story. And then you find these little extra little gifts in there as well. So until next time, from the Screwtape Letters Podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time, Season 2, Biblical Easter Eggs. We'll see you again.